the red light's working, so I think we're okay. I got saved in a similar way to manner that Susan did. It was very, I was in my car by myself, actually, and I wasn't reading any scripture or anything. I'd been with someone earlier in the night. They had prayed for me to receive Christ, but hadn't really actually shared the gospel with me. And then they left, and I drove my car away, and the Lord, I sensed a presence in my car, and I sensed in an instant, the Lord revealed to me what His plan was, what He wanted from me, what He was asking me to do. I just understood that, and I said yes, and I felt His presence come in. I literally felt the presence of God come inside of me. And I read later what that was. In Scripture, I began to see that, and I thought, okay. But the speaking and hearing from God was immediate. I mean, that's the way the Lord responded to me. That's the way I heard from Him at the beginning. So, going from there, you just hung out, and God speaks to you. And God tells you things, and you read the Word, and then He tells you more, and then He tells you about the Word. And that's just normal. And then I started going to a church, and I all of a sudden I went, isn't this normal for everybody? And I started finding out that that wasn't the case. And so I began to learn that it wasn't okay. And there were folks, like Susan said, there were folks that said that it wasn't okay to hear from God, although I was in a charismatic church, which was, hey, it's okay to hear from God, but this is how you got to hear from God. Right? It's okay as long as it's, you know, in this, between these two lines right here. And I'm just sharing how I came out of hiding. So I began to, if the Lord spoke to me, it's up to Him what He wanted to say to me, right? He's just, it's a conversation. God's going to say what He's going to say. So He can say, I love you. That's wonderful. You know, you love to hear that. But He could also look at me, He could also talk to me and say, oh, that person over there, this is what's going on with them. Okay. It was the same to me. It was the same to me. This is what's happening here, here, here. Or this is what's going on in the church. Or this is what's happening. Okay, God, you're saying this. It was very clear to me. And it was no different than how He initially saved me. So I had no other experiences of Him to compare that to. And the Word didn't seem to say that that was wrong. Everything I read said that's people hear from God and God does what He's going to do and He says what He wants to say. And you do it. If He says go do this, you do it. So He'd say, I want you to go over to this person and say this to them. Well, it didn't make sense to me because I didn't know. But I would go and I would do it and I would see this amazing thing happen. I'd go, oh, that was pretty cool. I don't mind doing that because look what happened. This person got blessed. Look at all this stuff that happened. That's how it starts, folks. Real simple, hearing God and just doing what He says. And then as I was in church longer and I learned more about prophetic, what it's supposed to look like, when it's supposed to happen, when it's not supposed to happen, how it's supposed to sound, how it's not supposed to sound. Layers of stuff started getting on top of it. And I began to realize that people have to see, it's like I felt, I can't be free just to do that. And I can't just minister anytime God says something to me. I remember a friend of mine who reminds me a lot of Susan, and they actually know each other through other friends. I was in a parking lot, and the Lord just gave me this really beautiful word for this person. And I just said it to her right there in the parking lot, and it was this amazing experience. That was like 15 years ago. She still remembers that. And later, I was told, you can't give a word in the parking lot. Because we want to be in the worship service with the full anointing of God and the full... I mean, it was just their version of this is the way it has to look. Because this is the way that makes it safe. You see, it's fear. Fear was motivating that comment because they were afraid that who knows what was going to happen out there that they couldn't control if they weren't there to oversee or hear it. And you know, there is a certain element of pastoral oversight that is a healthy thing in a church, but this was God was moving and it was happening, and this person was a very mature believer. So if it had been wacky or something, it would have been instant that, you know, she would have come back. And so you get, and I was what, 21 then, 20 years old? And to me, God didn't respect age. If he had something to say to a 90-year-old person over here, it didn't matter. Because he said, go over to that person and say, "What this? Okay, you go and say." There was no age issues at all. I learned later that being under 30, even in this particular church, was a bad thing as far as there's certain things you couldn't do. So what I'm saying is that during a process, controls and issues began to dampen me. And over a series, even when I was in Bible college and even in seminary, it got worse and worse, because in seminary, I was in an evangelical seminary where people didn't do that at all. And it was all up in the brain. And if you couldn't figure it out up here, folks, it didn't exist. And so I ended up not ministering for a lot of years. I call that going undercover. You just go undercover. You go into a church and you're there and you hang out and you're like a secret agent. You just hang out. I learned how to pray for people in a very innocent sort of way, and I was kind of ministering to them at the same time. But I couldn't even make it look like I was giving them a word or in any way telling them something I felt God was telling me for them. And I learned to do that for a lot of years. So I was in hiding. My passion was in hiding. I was in hiding. I learned how to control all that stuff. And you know what it did? It just caused me to just push all that stuff down. So where am I in hiding right now? Okay, it's been 21 years. Where am I now? When Susan and I started talking about this meeting, and she wrote the brochure, I went, "You put what in the brochure?" I had prophetic giftings in the brochure. You put it on paper? And I says, I'm not sure I'm ready to be outed right now on that deal. I'm not sure I'm ready for it to go out there. And you know, the Lord was just, that was the Lord's like, I want you out of hiding. It's like, you guys, I'm 40 years old. I have a bachelor's degree in theology and a master's in theology that I got 20 years ago, and I still was afraid to come out and just be all the things that God meant for me to be. I've ministered prophetically and all this other stuff over the years, but always kind of underground. And a couple years ago, we had dinner with Ted and Judy, my wife and I, and Ted looks at me and he goes, and I told him my story, and Ted and I actually know, we just had a whole lot of similar experiences with the church and had been to the same place, knew the same people. It was really neat. And he looks at me and he goes, in the parking lot, and Judy will probably remember this, he goes, "Well, I want you to be free to do whatever God tells you to do in your church." I'm like, "You bet." I'll jump right on that. You don't even know what you're saying to me, because if God starts moving that way, I mean, I'm going to be saying stuff and things are going to happen and whatever, you know, it's just going to be God doing stuff. And it was like, now I know, here we are with Ted and Judy's blessing, and not just blessing, but full embracing. And we're here, and we're ministering, and God is working. And I have found that the prophetic giftings that God gave me, which, again, it wasn't... I mean, other people came along after I was saved and said, "This is what your giftings are." And I was like, I knew, because it was already happening. But, publicly sort of things happened, and I was like, okay. Now I can minister. Now that these guys have prophesied over me, and I can minister. I was ministering to a pastor once. She was a very old lady, very well respected in the church, and I was ministering to her, and we were all in a group praying for her. All the elders were praying for her, and she was ill, and the Lord gave me a word. I mean, we were just singing and worshiping and praising, and it came right out. I couldn't control it. It was like it came right out of me. And halfway through it, she started getting up. And I, because it was about her releasing her pastoral duties to another pastor. Well, it was like, this is just God speaking. And later I said, and it was so powerful, I knew it was God. And it's like later, another pastor came to me and said, "Well, the reason that she didn't receive it is because you aren't at that level yet. You can't say that." And I thought, well, what level do I have to be at to say what God wants me to say? I'm in your Bible college. I'm doing all the stuff. I'm here. I'm submitted myself to your authority. I'm doing all this stuff. What do I have to be 90 to do it? I mean, I didn't know, and no one told me. It was just another way of control and fear. And so I said, oh, I guess I can't do that anymore. You see? And folks, we all have a story to tell in that area. This is mine. My story. And it's like the neatest thing about it is that I always was kind of out there in the church, and I know other folks like myself out there in the church who a lot of them are sidelined like I was, who minister deeply, prophetically. Oh my gosh. So I met Susan, and I had an idea of some things. And then Susan and I started, I was in one of her classes, and we were just hanging out, and God started ministering. And we looked at each other and went, oh, that was cool. What happened just then was neat, how that happened. And the Lord began to show us that my giftings help the teachings happen. The teachings come out, but the obstacles, the identifying the hiding stuff, you know, that we aren't always aware of, that's where a lot of the prophetic giftings come in. You know, it identifies things we aren't always in touch with and in tune with. And you know, folks, it's just the body, ministering to the body. It's not the man, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. I read the Old Testament. The man of God appeared out of the bushes and ministered this word, and then he disappears. They didn't even name him. I thought, that's pretty cool. You can come out, do your thing, and then you can hide again. I like that. Be the man of God, the mystery man of God. And it's like in the New Testament, you know, our New Testament body, we aren't the mystery people. We are out there, vulnerable human beings with our gifts, with our ministries, ministering to each other, letting each other in to all the places, and God's showing us each other's hearts, and He's doing it. That's the New Testament church, folks. And it's not the mystery. The mystery is the hiding. So, I'm thrilled. It's like, that's part of the sadness that I was telling you about at the beginning. Because I looked back at 20 years and I saw all the places where I had hidden. All the times and all the churches where I was a worship leader in a church for like a couple years. And the pastor said to me, I believe God speaks to you. I just don't believe He speaks to you as much as you say He does. Because I'm like, there was a context to it. But it's like, I realized this, I can only bring on Sunday the gifts that are acceptable for me to bring. And that was my musical stuff. The musical side I could bring. Nothing else was acceptable. And that, folks, caused my passion to go into a cave. Because my passion is for all the things God's given me to be in function. And I was reading this, and that's why I said I'm going to work through this. Because like, where else, what else are we doing? Lord, okay, what else are we doing here? This is cool. This is awesome. This is huge. Where are we going with it? And where else is it heading? And maybe I need to be more out in all the other places in my life. You know, all these different questions. So, I just wanted to share that as a personal testimony, folks. This is our lives. This is our lives right here. And He wants us out. Because, you know, that prayer I prayed at the beginning? He wants us out because we are His treasure. And He wants everyone to see the treasure He has buried in our lives. And when we hide it, or it's been dumped on or controlled or whatever, that treasure is hidden away. And He says He puts it in earthen vessels. I'm okay with that. It's just dust, you know? But inside there's a treasure. And that's the one He's buried. And I don't want it buried. I want it out. So let's pray. Let's pray for each other. God has revealed some things tonight. As long as people can or can stay or whatever, just pray and realize that this is a process. This isn't a quick fix deal. It's a journey, and we begin to move on it. And like Susan was sharing with Adam and Eve, He starts us where we're aware of things, and it's His grace. So He's not out there humiliating people. He doesn't work that way. We just work. So I just want to set us free to do that and start praying, and whoever wants prayer, wants to pray with whoever, let's do that like we've been doing. Amen?
I was impressed with something